If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Today's program is brought to you by Firesider, a health tonic based on the traditional New England cure-all of raw apple cider vinegar and honey. For more information, visit firesider.com.
I'm Linda Pelaggio, host of A Taste of the Past. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
And welcome to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jolie Kerr, a cleaning expert, advice columnist, and author of the New York Times bestselling book, My Boyfriend Barfed in My Handbag, and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. My weekly cleaning advice column, Ask a Clean Person, appears on Esquire.com, and I would love it if you would send your cleaning questions to joliekerr@gmail.com. My guest today is Dave Lozo. Hi, Dave.
Hi. Hello.
Hello. Dave is a writer and very funny person who is currently writing about sports. Mostly hockey, but you do some other stuff. You do some basketball, you do some football.
All over the place.
He's doing that stuff for Vice Canada, The Comeback, and Up Rocks. And since we are in the clutch of winter, though you wouldn't know it from the weather in New York today, where it is like a balmy
It's like
60 degrees right now, and Dave is a winter sport guy, I asked him to join me for today's episode, in which we will cover the topic of winter shoe care. Yeah,
one of my favorite
things. Listen, we're both cold climate folks.
See, like, but I'm the kind of person that will, if it's snowing outside, for instance, I just won't go outside, and then I'll never have to worry about cleaning my sneakers. That's why I'm so useless for you today. I'm just here to just make jokes.
You're
for
not.
The next
that's
minutes.
The. That's all.
It.
That's all I need you to do.
I'm like your Andy Richter to your Conan O'Brien.
Well, that's it. And after the show, where you and I are going to talk about that a little bit more seriously. I mean, that's what you're here for. You're here to add color.
That's it.
Yeah, you're my color guy.
As the whitest person ever. That's weird.
Yeah. Okay, but before we get into the gory stuff about winter shoes, two items of business. The first is that apparently I owe Dave an apology. Loyal listeners will remember him from the spirited episode about hockey gear that he joined me for. And during that episode, I asked people to take a photo of the dirty water in which they had washed their pads, their hockey pads, and tweet the photo at me. Well, they did. And I loved it. And I loved it so much that I retweeted all of them for my followers and CC'd Dave so he could also see them. Dave did not love this.
It was like the equivalent of when you bring your girlfriend in the bathroom after you take a dump and you're just like, look at this. And she's like, ew, this is gross. And you're like, no, this is awesome. Only she was doing the inverse to me. Like, look how clean it is now, but the water... No, the water is gross and it looks like somebody did business in there. I don't want to
have to look. They did do business. They cleaned their hockey gear in there. It was fabulous.
I could smell the photo almost.
Oh, it was so exciting. I loved it so much. So anyway, Dave finally like... lost it at me and got mad.
I did. I've screamed at her. Really, I was really genuinely upset.
So
I talked to her for months.
Yeah. So today I have to say I'm sorry, Dave.
I don't accept. No.
Well, that's good because I'm not really sorry at all.
Boy, I can't believe I fell for that one.
Okay, but to make it up to you, before we get into the winter shoe woes,
pizza.
Yeah, we'll get some pizza. No, not before that. We have to record the show first. Then boy. Pizza.
So much work.
I want to give you the opportunity to hijack my show and tell our listeners
about Ted Cruz and why he's the best candidate. What? Oh, no.
Listen, Dave, don't make me kill you.
I'm kidding.
No, listen, I'm a Bernie gal. You know why? Bernie does his own laundry.
boy, it is just so easy to just get you. That's it.
Yeah, I'm a simple gal. That's it. I mean, also, I'm like, yeah, I'm so liberal. I'm right, like a communist. So there you go.
I like him.
Okay. No, I'm going to give you the opportunity to tell a story. It's one of the funnier stories I've heard in a long time. There is a visual component to it that if you want to see the visual component, it will be the title image for this episode. So if you go look on Acast or iTunes at the episode write up, you'll see the episode image will be of what we refer to as the Helvetica Reebok. So
Helvetica Reebok.
Take it away, Dave, and tell us a story about your Helvetica Reebok.
I hope this translates without the visual. Otherwise, it's just like some dude telling a story about his goofy sneakers. But I worked for the NHL, and the NHL was in the midst of a lockout. And for those listening that aren't like big sports people, essentially like half the NHL season was canceled because the owners wanted to squeeze money out of the players. And I worked for the league at the time, so in order for people who worked for the league to stay on, they took 20% of our pay for like 3 months or something like that, which was really, really awful. But to make it up to us, they did the really nice thing of giving us $200 worth of free sneakers. So, you know, do the math, 20% of your salary for 3 months. I mean, that's totally the same thing as a free pair of sneakers.
Yeah, because free sneakers pay your rent.
Right, right. Like when
everyone knows that.
When I was like canceling HBO, I was like, but at least I got these sweet Reeboks coming in now. Thanks a lot, Gary. So what they did was they gave us like this card, had a code, and you can go on the website and you can get $200 worth of free sneakers. So like, you know, a pair of Reeboks are like $180. So it was basically like one pair of sneakers. And yeah, you go on the site, you customize them, you can do whatever. And I'm not a Reebok guy. I'm more a Nike guy, but I'm like free sneakers. I'm going to take everything I can possibly get out of this.
Of course.
And you can customize them. And the ones that I picked out had a strap that went across the middle of the foot, like a little Velcro strap. But it said Reebok on it, and I thought it looked really goofy and dorky. And like, I realize brands control our lives, but I'd like to kind of minimize the amount of brands that are on my visual as I'm walking around during the course of my day. So I'm like, what can I do here? And then I realize, oh, I can just leave the field blank, and it's like a blank black strap. And I'm like, oh, I like how this looks. I'll do this, you know, fill it out, do it, send away, give my address. 2 weeks later, I have a package on my desk from Reebok, and I know exactly what it is. It's my sneakers. And like, everyone's sneakers were kind of coming in at the same time, so we were all like, you know, we were all like kids, like, sneakers, it's sneakers week, yeah. So I opened the box, and I'm like, man, how am I going to get these home? Like, I don't want to have to carry them on the bus, and I'm taking them out of the box. I'm like, let me see. And I look, and on the strap where there should be nothing, on each strap, on each shoe, is the word Helvetica. In white stitching, Helvetica. And I first of all, these are free sneakers.
Were they in Helvetica font?
That's the thing, is like, they weren't even like, it made I'm actually going online and I'm like Googling Helvetica font to see if like maybe, no, it was like Courier. It wasn't even Helvetica font. It wasn't even a good store. So everyone on my floor for the entire day, and like people from all over the building, are coming by my desk to laugh at my sneakers, because the whole company's gotten their free sneakers and they want to look at mine and laugh. So what do you do? Like, they're free. They're just running sneakers. They're not dress shoes. So I'm like, well, I guess I got to call up Reebok. So I call Reebok. I get a woman on the phone, and I could tell once I told her my, and I remember telling the story very slowly, very succinctly, because it was a really weird story. And there was like 10 seconds of silence on the phone. Wait, it says Helvetica on your sneakers? Why would you want Helvetica? Like, exactly. I didn't want anything there. I left it. Could you please hold? You put me on hold like four times. And I could tell she thought I was making up a story to get free sneakers. I'm like, look, if you tell me you can't replace these, I'm not going to really care. But I mean, I would like to be able to wear my sneakers at some point. So she's like, can you take a picture of your sneakers and email them to
can
us?
We have proof of life.
Right. That was
totally Helvetica sneakers.
Like, she made it sound like that was part of the policy. But deep down inside, she was like, this idiot on the phone is making up some BS story.
He's
about
running a scam. Helvetica.
I mean, that's so crazy that like you would Helvetica. But why wouldn't he say like Comic Sans? So I emailed the photos. She got them, and they were like, well, we have no idea how this happened, so we're going to... So I ended up having two pairs of sneakers in the office. And by the way, the sneakers were uncomfortable and terrible, and I never wore them, so I...
Oh, no. So yeah. did the second pair come with the blank strap?
They came with the blank strap.
It would have been amazing if they came and said blank.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so, that would have been good.
And like for the next 2 weeks, when the new sneakers were coming, people were super excited to see what was in the box again, to see if they were messed up again. They were like, Lozo, are your sneakers here yet? does it have Times New Roman on it?
I would have given anything to be able to listen in on that call and have like a split screen of your face and the poor customer rep's face.
My buddy Mike was like at the cubicle next to me, and I could just hear him laughing the entire time. Like whenever I'd be like, okay, I'll hold, sure. And like you would just hear him laughing. Yep. Okay, I'll hold again. Sure, no problem. Dave, my name is Dave. Yeah, I'll hold. That's fine. You can just tell like the entire like department was all standing around the phone like is this Helvetica? Have you ever heard about this before? So yeah, I got $400 worth of sneakers that I wore like five times, and two of the sneakers have the word Helvetica written on them.
It's like, oh, it's the best story in the world.
But they're good to wear in the winter because I don't care.
You ruin them. Yeah. Thank you. That was a good take. One quick question before we go into the winter shoe care issues. Mm-hmm. If they wore Comic Sans, would you have worn them proudly?
I mean, if they were Comic Sans and they were Comic Sans font, I think I would have been like, Helvetica is not a cool font. Like, I want to represent a cool font when I'm walking, when I'm at the gym, you know? Like,
and what could be cooler?
Right. Like,
maybe Calibri.
I'm a Cambria guy myself, but I mean, like, Helvetica is just like the last one you'd want. Like, you know, I don't want to be like, you know, hey, buddy, can you give me a spot at the gym? And he's like, bro, I'm not spotting some Helvetica dork, bro. Get yourself some Times New Romans or get the hell out of my gym. I was ashamed. Yeah. To this day, like, it's like I posted that on Facebook the other day. It's like a 4-year-old photo, and like still people from the NHL I haven't seen in years still laugh their asses off.
Oh my God.
My sneakers.
It's like the best story. So not only people at the NHL, our mutual friend Kate Baker, hockey writer, just how Dave and I know each other. Like she and I seriously just can't stop talking about it. We'll be in like a texting little thing. She's like sending me photos of her right. newborn, and I'm like, are you still laughing at the Dave story about the Helvetica Reeboks?
I can't believe she didn't know that until I think I told her that back when it happened. But yeah, it's probably the most exciting thing to happen to her outside of Graham
probably in the
last year.
Probably. Yeah. Katie, there's your shout out for Graham. Graham's famous now.
Graham.
All right. Graham lives in a cold weather climate. When he is old enough for snowshoes, he's going to have to deal with this stuff. We're going to start right off with the biggest like winter shoe woe that we could find out there.
Poop.
Dave.
What? It's wet outside. You don't see it. It's under the snow. And then you have...
It's under the snow.
Right. But
it's frozen.
But you step on it and...
All right. It's not the biggest winter shoe woe.
Oh.
Oh, please. That's a summer shoe woe when you're in flip-flops.
That's more a foot skin. Yeah. Sorry. All right.
Well, we'll bring you back in August and we'll talk about that. Okay. You want to read the question?
Do you want me to read the question?
Yeah. Sharon, put on your
Hey, whatever happened to the girl with the clothes and the pipe? Remember her, the Halloween girl that was like into like smoking all kinds of crazy different things that time I was here? She had like a Halloween
costume. Your future wife?
Yeah. We never got me hooked up with her.
Cassandra was her name? Something like that.
Maybe. I just remember she liked clothes. All right, where are we here? Oh, Helvetica Reeboks. I can see it at the top of the screen. Get rid of that.
It's in my show notes, you guys.
All right, Sharon writes, my main question, one that stumps me every year, is how to get the salt stains out of my leather boots. I often spray them with a snow, rain, salt repellent spray, which sometimes sort of works, but never very well on salt. And you know, I like her commas. She's very good with the commas in here. She's a very good writer.
Oh.
I like the pauses. And you know... Even if you wear your heavy-duty snow boots out for the most part during snowstorms, there's always the day the weather catches you by surprise and you get caught in your favorite boots, tramping through the snow and picking your way. It's such a poet. It's very, very nice. Picking your way through your gigantic, cold, awful puddles. The relief of getting back indoors is usually dashed. The next day when I look at my boots and they have that gross white salt stain line going all around them, is there a way to get rid of it without further discoloring the leather? And is there a great spray leather treatment you recommend as a preventative measure?
Yes and yes.
Oh, and she said, thanks.
Oh, yes and yes, and you're welcome. Also, I like that she called this a stumper, because I get to say stumpa.
It's a lot of good words.
So stumpa. Wicked stumpa.
It's a wicked stumpa here. Yeah. Salt on your boots.
But it's actually not. There are a couple of different ways to get rid of the salt stains on your boot. The thing is about the protectors, which in the second segment of the show, we're going to talk about like leather protectors and suede protectors and all that kind of stuff. And we'll banter about other winter shoe woes, maybe about poop. Cool. But so we're going to start off with what to do about those salt stains. So the thing is about using a protector is that they'll protect against the stains penetrating the shoe. But it doesn't, as our poor reader Sharon has noticed, it doesn't necessarily mean that the stains themselves won't occur in the first place. Ideally, if you're using a really good one, the staining will like wipe off with a wet paper towel, but you may need something a little bit more. So here's what you're going to do. Regardless of whether you've used a protector or not, the instructions are the same. Easiest thing to do about salt stains is to use my old friend, white vinegar. White vinegar is magic.
I mean, that should be the name of the show.
Yes, it should be.
Okay, I feel like I'm 3 for 3 now in hearing about white vinegar at my times here. It could be anything like, Jolie, my dog is dying and I just don't know what to do to make him feel bad. White vinegar.
White vinegar.
Just rub white vinegar on his paws and he'll be good again. That's how you fix your dog.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And also your salty shoes. So here's what you're going to do with the white vinegar. First of all, you do not need a lot. Probably a tablespoon of white vinegar diluted with a tablespoon of water. Equal parts. If you're doing a lot of pairs of shoes all at once, then use more. But if you're just doing one or two pairs of boots, that's like really all you're going to need. So what you're going to do is you're going to mix up your vinegar and your water in equal parts, and you know, like a small little bowl or something like that. And then you're going to get a soft cloth. Now, people have asked me what I mean by a soft cloth.
I'm curious. Like not sandpaper, but
there's no end to the like questions that people will ask. The specificity? People want me to give them information.
Can I guess what it is first, real quick? Yeah. Is it based on thread count? Is it like a softer, like?
Yeah, you just want a soft cotton. So like, think about a man's white undershirt. That's a soft cloth.
Okay, I'm thinking about that right now.
Yeah, like a Hanes undershirt. Mm-hmm. And so actually some good things to use are like old undershirts that have gone like way past the point of salvaging. Just cut them up, make a little rag pile for yourself. Old socks are also really good, like old sweat socks, ones that have gone holy. Stop wearing them.
Do I have to dip them in white vinegar?
When they have holes. And preferably they're clean. Yeah, I know it's a lot to ask.
It's a lot.
All right,
let's
moving on. Yeah, so you're going to dip it in the white vinegar. You're going to wring it out. You don't want it sopping. And then you are going to rub vigorously at the salt stains. I'm like writing the show notes for this, and as I wrote, thanks, Dave. Thanks, Dave. Yeah, as I was writing the show notes, I was like, I'm going to say it.
You're not going to get that past me.
And I know what Dave is going to do. That's why I have you here. That was actually a really good sound effect. I didn't know you were a sound effects guy,
too. Never watched porn in my life. I just assume that's what the music sounds like. I've never, you know, it's not my thing.
Well, that's okay. It's okay if it's your thing, too.
No. I'm a more reserved sort of old fashioned kind of guy.
Yeah, I believe you.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. okay, so once you've rubbed vigorously, then you are going to dry off the area with a soft cloth. So basically, like what you can do is like let's say you're using a sock, like dip the toe in the vinegar and rub, and then turn it around and dip the opening, or not dip the opening, use the dry opening end to rub. So just use the same thing.
So rub vigorously, clean with a towel. Gotcha.
With a soft cloth.
Right.
Soft cloth. Right. Okay, so as you dry, you may notice that there's still some residual salt. Just repeat as needed. If you've repeated 2 or 3 times and there really is still salt, and it's likely that what you have is a more set-in stain, or that you haven't protected the shoes in the first place and it's penetrated into the leather.
Good job, Sharon.
Don't. Listen, Sharon did everything right. Sharon used the protector.
Sharon blew it.
No, she didn't.
Come on, Sharon. Be better.
Dave. okay, so here's what you're going to do in the case of those like tougher salt stains. You're going to get a dedicated salt stain removal product. Kiwi makes one. Kiwi is a shoe care brand. They make like shoe polishes and saddle soaps and all that good stuff. They also make something called Kiwi Salt Stain Remover. There you go. You're going to get that. There's another brand you could look for called Fibings. That's spelled F-E-I-B-I-N-G, apostrophe S, Fibings. And they also offer a product called Salt Stain Remover. So go ahead and get that. Use it. Follow package instruction, which will probably be exactly the same instructions I gave you for the vinegar. Rub vigorously instructions, and you will be good to go. So we are going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the protective coating that in an ideal world we would all put on our shoes before we go out in snowstorms, but that in reality we all almost never do. But we're going to talk about those, some brands. We'll probably talk about what to do when your shoes get soaking wet. So Dave and I will be right back. And this is Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Was brought to you by Fire Cider. Did your grandmother ever tell you to drink raw apple cider vinegar? It's good advice and more common than you may think. For generations of New Englanders, a tot of vinegar was a morning ritual. Taken daily, a tablespoon of unfiltered apple cider vinegar can help support immune function and digestive functions. To the base of certified organic apple cider vinegar, Fire Cider added whole, raw, certified organic oranges, lemons, onions, ginger, horseradish, habanero pepper, garlic, and turmeric. They let this mixture steep for 6 weeks at room temperature to preserve the living vinegar culture and delicate flavors of the ingredients. Lastly, they blend a generous helping of raw wildflower honey into the mix. The result is potent but balanced, offering layers of sweet, tart, and spice. Fire Cider tastes great on its own or as an addition to tea, juice, or salad. Fire Cider ships direct from their online store and is available at over 500 locations nationwide. Use their store locator to find one near you and ask for a free sample. For more information, visit firesider.com.
Welcome back to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. I'm Jolie Kerr, and my guest today is Dave Lozo.
I'm still here.
Thank God for that.
Let's do this.
And we have been talking about winter shoe care. So we talked about what to do about those dreaded salt stains. Those are going to happen. White vinegar is the answer. If you hate vinegar, if it's not working, you can go ahead and get that Kiwi stuff. You can get the Five Bings stuff. Five Bings is actually like a really, really good brand generally. So you might want to keep that in mind if you're a guy or gal who's really shoe proud and you want really nice shoe care products.
Fibings
is a good name to know.
So I feel like they should be sponsoring this. I feel like you're giving them a lot of props here. I mean, you have to be honest and give.
I'm honest.
Right.
Yeah.
But you know, at this point, they should be like, let's ship her a box of the Fibings.
I'll reach out to them and tell them that.
Come on, Fibings people.
Yeah.
Sharon needs your help, too. Let's help Sharon
let's
out.
Let's help Sharon out. Let's save Sharon from herself.
Sharon's a good writer. Let's give Sharon some Fibings.
I know. I'm a little worried.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Sharon's going to take our jobs. Oh, stop complimenting
her. You can have it if you want. Like, it's okay. Not this one, just in general.
Yeah. No one can have my job. I love my job.
Yeah.
I'll cut a bitch. Yeah.
Oh, you can say bitch on this show?
Yeah, you can swear on the show.
Oh, I didn't remember that.
Yeah.
I said BS earlier because I was trying to be all...
Oh, like, you're nice. Yeah. I don't encourage people to just come on and,
just start dropping the F-bombs.
Yeah, okay. But if it like pops out, it's fine.
Right, I want it to be meaningful. I don't want to just swear for the case of swearing.
It's a freewheeling and conversational show, Dave.
Well, I mean, it depends on your conversation. Maybe, you know, like, hello, my name is Dave, and I am tired of these shenanigans with the salt. I am tired of this tomfoolery with salt cleaning products. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to use that language.
There's no tomfoolery with salt cleaning products. Okay. All right. Let's move now into our protectors our prophylactics, if you will.
Just plastic bags over your shoes, right?
Exactly.
Prophylactics.
Before we get, this sort of falls under prophylactic, but it's a little different. There's a product category called leather conditioner. It is a good idea after cleaning salt stains off to apply some leather conditioner to your shoes, should they be leather. If they're not leather, don't worry about it, obviously. And here's why. The salt is drying for leather. So leather is a hide. Leather is like our skin, right? So it needs moisture.
Okay, Buffalo Bill. It puts the conditioner on the shoe. Or it gets the hose again.
Yeah, listen.
Okay.
I'm going to give you the hose later if you don't behave yourself.
Whoa, hey.
So it's, you know, it's like our skin. It needs moisture. It needs moisturizer. Like I'm all lubed up. You know, it's dry out there. I don't want my skin to get dry.
I'm all lubed up, she said.
All lubed up, said Jolie, while Dave Lozo is in the studio.
Yes.
Great word choice. Mm-hmm. I do this on purpose. So leather, you can think of leather conditioner kind of like you would think about moisturizer for our skin. So the salt is drying. The vinegar is also going to be drying. The thing that you're going to use to remove the thing that's drying is also going to be drying. So it's not a bad idea, especially if you're talking about really nice leather, to go ahead and use a leather conditioner on it after you've cleaned it. There are tons of these products out there. I want to point you to the Sweet Homes Guide on All Things Shoe Care. They have a leather conditioner that they recommend. It is called Saphir Renovateur.
Ooh,
that I know,
that sounds expensive.
Exceedingly fancy. That is Saphir. But you can just go to the Sweet Home and like type shoe in, and you'll pull up that whole guide. They also recommend shoe polishes and brushes and like every kind of like shoe care thing is all in that guide. It's great. And you know, I love the Sweet Home. Love them. So go ahead and use their recommendation. Click through from their link to Amazon so that they get the affiliate fee and can continue to do the great work they do. Thank you. That is my shout out for the Sweet Home. So there you go. There's my little spiel on the leather conditioner. Let's talk now about the leather protector. All right. I'm going to level. We all know that we should be putting a leather protector or a suede protector on our nice new shoes when we get them.
Of course.
We also all know that on the first of the year, we should change the batteries in our smoke detectors.
Wait, we're supposed to do that? Come on.
There are all kinds of things we know we're supposed to do that we don't do.
Take our vitamins. The smoke detector thing kind of caught me off guard. I mean,
yeah, you're supposed to change the battery once a year. Yeah. And it's supposed to be like there's like a day. There's like you're supposed to pick a single day a year and you do it every year and it's a habit.
When it beeps, you change it. That's the rule.
Yeah.
That's the rule.
So,
come on.
It's one of those things we know we're supposed to do. It's a thing probably most of us don't do. I don't. There's some honesty.
I'm learning something new immediately right now.
So in an ideal world, when you go buy a nice new pair of suede or leather boots right there in the store, if you don't have one at home, you buy a leather protector or a suede protector, and you apply it like right there. You even have the store do it. And that's the ideal thing. Realistically, I know no one does that. But if you find yourself having stained a really good pair of shoes, and then you're like, poor Sharon, you're like,
come on, Sharon, get it together with your protectors.
Well, no, she used it. She, I guess, actually, she's a bad example. The better example is, so this week's Ask a Clean Person column in Esquire is about winter shoe care. It's about the salt stains and like a whole bunch more stuff. So look out for that Friday. It runs at 11 a.m. on Esquire in the style section. That question was about salt stains and like a whole bunch of other stuff. And that was a question that was written by someone who hadn't used the protector and was like, have I totally ruined the shoes? Can I clean them and then protect them? So the answer is yes, you can clean them and then you should go ahead and protect them. And that's a good thing to do. So if you find yourself in that situation, learn from your one mistake. Don't make the same mistake again. Go ahead and get a leather protector. Here are some brands to look for. These are from Good Housekeeping's testing. Right? So we're going to trust Good Housekeeping. The Sweet Home hasn't tested these. If the Sweet Home had tested them, I would be going with their recommendation. Because I trust them in all things in my life. Okay, but good housekeeping is I guess it's fine too. I guess no, good housekeeping is fine.
It's good.
It's great. It's good housekeping. It's good. They housekeeping. Have a whole seal of approval thing that's going on.
I'm
going
to start my own magazine called Great Housekeeping. And I'm going to knock Good Housekeeping.
Is it going to be
the market?
Is it going to be a Jolie Care like fan zine?
I mean,
I've always wanted a fanzine.
I've never heard it said like that before.
I haven't either. I just coined it.
Like fanzine sounds like an ointment you put on your body.
No, it doesn't. It sounds like something wonderful that someone should make for me.
All right, somebody make it for her. She's getting emotional here.
Great housekeeping.
Great housekeeping.
Listen, I'm a positive reinforcement kind of gal.
Oh, so you need it.
I thrive on praise.
All right, so if there's not a fanzine here in the next 6 days, I'm going to come to Sharon's house. And I'm going to make her make one for you. That's how it's going
to
be.
Listen, I just love to be loved, all right? okay, so here are some brands that that Good Housekeeping recommends for leather protector. There's a brand called AquaSeal. For suede, they like the McNett, McNett, McNett Revive X. For fabric, so that's I liked Sharon's question because she specifically mentioned this thing that like does happen. Like as much as you check the weather, there is always that one day where you end up outdoors in foul weather in totally inappropriate shoes.
Right. Or like you're just walking through New York and it's just a giant, you know, slush puddle that you just can't navigate. And
yeah.
Then, yeah.
Like, and then like
New York sucks.
And then like
there's nothing worse than New York in the winter.
New York in the summer?
I mean, I'd rather smell the poop smell in the subway stations in the summer than
that you just have
through.
A poop fetish.
I wouldn't call it a fetish. It's more of a hobby, I would say. It's more of an interest.
You're very definitely stuck at the Freudian anal stage of life. That's
not a real stage in life.
Yes, it is.
That's not like in like a psychology book somewhere. Like, oh, hello, my name is Sigmund. I don't know why Sigmund Freud's got an accent like this. But he wore glasses and had a funny
wait a minute.
Beard.
Yes, it is, Dave.
There's no Freudian poop anal stage.
Yes, there is, Dave.
Hold on,
Dave. Google it while I tell the brands. I promise you, it really is one of the Freudian anal stages. Anal stages. It's the
See?
Freudian stages.
See,
that was a Freudian slip. Okay, so for fabric, use Scotchgard. It's Scotchgard fabric and upholstery protector is what you want. Be aware, however, that there is a Scotchgard fabric and upholstery cleaner that's different from the protector. They're both really good, but they serve totally different functions. And I've heard from people who have used the protector when they meant to be using the cleaner, and that's a whole mess. So just be aware of that and like be careful with the labeling. Okay, one last product that Good Housekeeping recommends and that I really like also, and so ultimately this gets my thumbs up. Kiwi, which I mentioned earlier, has a salt stain remover. Kiwi has something called Protect All. That product can be used as a protector for leather, suede, nubuck, fabric, and textile. So if you're a guy who wears like needlepoint tuxedo slippers, Dave doesn't know anything about that, but I do, and I know that's a real thing. That's what they mean by textile. The reason I like that product is should be pretty obvious. You can get one product that's going to work on basically all of your shoes rather than having to buy separate ones. But if, you know, you can't find the Kiwi product or you only wear leather or you only wear suede, in which case I really want to talk to you about your life choices, you know, you can go ahead and get a dedicated product, but why not just get the one that has like that works for five types of footwear protection. So go ahead and use that. Think about that. Instead of telling you how to use it, I'm going to tell you to follow the instructions on the bottle because they all can be different. And also I think that it's good to remind people to follow the manufacturer instructions. Like it's amazing to me how often people don't bother to look into how something is meant to be used and just go ahead and use it. The most recent example I heard of this was, I mean, this woman is a smart woman, really, truly a bright woman.
Is it Katie Baker?
It's not Katie Baker. It's not Katie Baker. If it was, I would call her out. No, right. I wouldn't. That would be nice.
Her name is Beatty Caker.
No. It wasn't. No.
Different person.
No. I had mentioned to her that she should use a magic eraser. I can't remember what it was that she asked. She was like, this is a former coworker. And I had been in the office and ran into her, and she's like, oh, Jolie, I have a question for you, which would be, I would go into the office for like, to like drop something off and leave 3 hours later because people would just keep being like, oh, Jolie, is it okay if I ask you a question? Like,
no, it's not. Come on. I got things to do here.
And finally, someone, like, I was really glad they said this. Someone finally piped up and was like, I'd like to point out that if it's not okay for you to ask her a question, she's definitely in the wrong job. My job is ask a clean person.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, anyway, like, it's fine. No, I never mind it. I actually really love it when my friends ask me things.
Oh, your friends, but not like your coworkers.
My coworkers, my friends, people I like.
You are too
Listen,
nice.
Here's why. I am definitely too nice. But here's the other thing. When it's people I don't like...
You just give them bad.
Yeah. Why not? No, I've never done that.
Don't use white vinegar.
Mix bleach and ammonia. And go into a small room with no ventilation.
And then just pour it all over your body.
I mean, it's been tempting. There have been a few. There were a few coworkers who really like chat my ass so badly that I was like, oh, I just hope they ask me something so I can fuck their shit up.
See?
Oh, I'm mean. See, yeah, I'm secretly evil. Yeah. Okay. So, wait, where was... Oh, so the question that this coworker... She asked me something in the end. I was like, oh, you just need a magic eraser for that. Okay, months go by. I find out that she didn't... Like, I needed to... I should have explained to her how the magic eraser is used. It didn't even occur to me that someone wouldn't, like, just read the instructions.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
The instructions for a magic eraser are, you take it out of the packaging, you wet it, you sort of wring it out, and then you rub it against whatever stain needs to be removed. And it kind of works like fine sandpaper, but you do have to wet it for it to work. So she was just rubbing the dry eraser up against like the stain on the wall, like just had no idea. And I guess it wasn't working. And she was like, oh, this didn't work. Like,
she's,
I guess,
just like, fucking Joel.
Totally God. Gave me bad advice or whatever. And like, yeah, months later it comes out and she's like, yeah, I didn't, the only, she was telling someone else, I saw this in a Facebook exchange. And she's telling someone else to use the magic eraser, and she was like, just know that you have to wet it first. I didn't realize that, Jolie Karen, like, I saw because she tagged me in this post. I was like, you don't even realize that you should be embarrassed and not tell people this. Like, oh my God.
I just thought of a great idea. You should have a separate podcast called Ask a Mean Person, and then you just give bad advice to people
for a long time have wanted to do, for April Fool's, to ask a mean person I answer real questions, but I'm just like the total opposite of how I answer normal questions. Just like, you're fine, it's okay.
Just rub peanut butter on your wedding dress, and then it'll come out.
Maybe,
it'll be good.
Maybe we'll do an April Fool's Day episode. I'll have you come on and I'll just let it...
Well, we gave it away.
I know. People don't remember things, though.
Just pour grape juice on your suit and it'll be good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So listen, we've got a couple more minutes. I think we should talk about what to do when we go out in inappropriate footwear and land in a puddle. Oh. And come home with sopping wet shoes. Because that's a super common winter one. Even if you're in appropriate shoes, that'll happen.
Just, I mean, throw them away.
I'm in the most appropriate shoes because I'm in knee-high rubber boots today. So I'm safe.
But like, it's kind of dry out. Well, it's supposed to rain today, I guess.
It's wet.
But yeah,
it's wet out.
Yeah, it's wet, but it's not like it was like on, what day was it? I was coming home the other day and, oh God, what day was it? But like, it was just every single, it was like 4 days after the blizzard.
Yeah, a couple days after the blizzard, it was just like ponds.
Like, and it's like all these little hidden nooks of puddles. Like, you're walking underneath some scaffolding and like the light's not hitting it right. And next thing you know, you're like ankle deep in water because the sidewalk was clear and the water was clear on the sidewalk. And it's just like, well, got to throw away all these jeans and sneakers that I'm wearing because I'm not going to clean them. That's insane. Who would clean something that was...
It's totally unthinkable to clean something.
Sorry.
Dave.
I mean, it depends on what it is.
Dave.
Like salty, gross, dirt New York water.
Disgusting.
Start fresh.
Okay. So, but here's what you're going to do. Couple of things. Mm-hmm. Couple options. The first is, if you end up with a super, super soaked pair of shoes, they are kind of getting on the stinky side, newspaper. We're gonna single-handedly save the newspaper.
Good news, everybody.
We finally found a
the
use.
The dyeing industry is not going to have life breathed into it.
So wad up a whole bunch of newspapers, stick them in the shoe. The newspaper is going to absorb the water. It's also going to absorb odors. I don't know how that works, but I know it works.
Hmm.
So there you go. So I got to be honest. Sometimes I do know what the science behind these things is. Sometimes I just don't.
Do you like
don't.
Wrap it or you like stuff it, the shoe?
Ball the newspaper up and stuff them in. The other thing that's going to do is it's going to help to reshape the shoe, because as it dries, it's not going to dry all like creased and warped and weird and so on and so forth. Couple of other things that you can do. If you have a fan in your home, set the shoes near the fan. If you have a mud room or any other kind of place sort of where people come in and they tend to take off wet shoes, it's not actually a bad idea to get an inexpensive fan that you can place in there and point at the wet shoes. It's going to help them dry faster. Similarly, placing wet shoes near a dehumidifier. We talked about this during the hockey gear episode in terms of how to dry stuff, like speed along the drying process. And so both the fan and the dehumidifier were suggestions for that. So again, those would be, dehumidifier would also be a great thing to throw into like a mudroom or any kind of space where you're keeping wet shoes. So it's nothing groundbreaking. I don't have any, maybe the newspaper is kind of a cool trick, but other than that, you know, I don't have any like super speedy tricks up my sleeve on that one. One thing just to be careful of, oftentimes, especially in like ski houses and stuff, you'll place your shoes near a fire. An open fire, roaring fireplace.
Roaring fire.
Which is a great idea to just make sure you're keeping them back far enough. That they're not, that like embers aren't going to spit out or anything like that. Obviously, like, don't stick them in the fireplace.
That's good advice.
I mean,
you told me to dry them, so I put them in the fire.
Put them in the fireplace.
You owe me new sneakers.
And similar to that, you can put shoes near a heater, but again, be quite careful. Don't put them on the heater, especially if they're a shoe like an UGG that has a rubber or plastic sole that's going to melt.
That's probably not good for business.
Yeah, no. Don't do that. So just be careful. So those are my tips. Any other winter shoe woes that you can think of that I haven't addressed?
I mean, the wetness, the salt, the poop. Those are pretty much the big trifecta of...
Okay.
I think poop is all seasons. I still think you're being a little too dismissive of winter poop.
One of the barometers is like, if people haven't ever asked me about it, it's probably not a huge problem out there. I've never gotten a question about that.
I have a question.
Dave, shut up.
All right, fine. I won't ask my really good question that you could have closed the show with, but that's okay.
I'll just have you come back. I'll have you come back.
Well, no, I feel like my concerns
have been shut down,
being treated in a concerned manner.
I'm not addressing your needs.
You said it, not me.
Did you Google?
Yeah, that. Are you not
piping up because I'm right?
Sigmund Freud's a weirdo, man. Like, what?
Wait, Liz in the engineering booth is giving me a thumbs up. Like, yes, I'm right. So
yeah, I mean, you are. I didn't realize this.
Wait, say that again. Say that again, Dave. What was it?
What? Wait, you want me to read it?
No, I heard you say yes, you are, as in yes, you are right. Say it again.
I was talking to Liz. Liz is correct. Congratulations,
thanks, Liz.
Liz. Good job.
Good job, Jolie.
It's from 18 months to 3 years. What kind of weirdo psychologist comes up with like an anal theory based on like a child pooping?
All of Freud's theories are based on, not all of them, but the stages in which you get stuck that carry through to later life are all formed
in early
childhood. Yeah.
Like, I thought it was all like...
Did you
sex and like mom?
Did you skip psychology 101?
I mean, I took psychology in college like 20 years ago. You think I can barely remember what I did last week? You want me to remember the poop stage of this? Is so weird. This is
why wouldn't you remember that? You're like,
what?
It's the poop stage.
I'm gonna remember the boner stage before I remember the poop stage. This is
goodness. Do you want to read the stages out for everybody's education before we wrap the show up? Give the titles. They're like,
well, I only have the one in front of me.
Okay.
Because I Googled Freudian poop, and then anal stage was the first thing that came up.
Okay. See?
And there's all this stuff about Sigmund Freud and pooping, and I got something to read on the train, I guess, on the way back
yes,
into the
city.
Yes,
you do. Yes, you do. Listen.
Whenever I come here, I learn. That's why I like coming here.
It's an educational program. And never let it be said that I don't know my shit. Oh my God, that was the best way to end the show.
Wow.
On that note, a big, big thank you to my guest today, Dave Lozo. To my engineer, Liz Smith, thank you also for the thumbs up and the sound effects, Liz. That was an excellent addition to the show.
Good job.
And to our sponsor, Fire Cider. Today's music was provided by RecTech. If you like what you heard today, and why would you have not? An amazing episode. I always love having Dave here.
Good job, Sharon.
Thanks, Sharon. Please consider subscribing on Acast or iTunes, leaving a rating, and telling your pals about this very weird, very, very weird little cleaning show that you love so very much. And of course, thank you to you, my listeners, for joining me for another episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.